NBA Therapy is back. Wow, it's been such a long time. My name's Nate Dizor, if you guys remember me from the last time. It's been such a long time. I think our fans deserve a little bit of a recap or a little bit of explanation about why we stopped doing NBA Therapy last, or now it's 2 years ago, wow, in 2020. So for anyone that doesn't know, any new listeners, NBA Therapy was a podcast that me and my friend Stephen Pack started during COVID, during the beginning of the pandemic. We were huge NBA fans. We always talk about NBA, and we thought, why not make a podcast to talk about it and put our thoughts out to the world? That's what we did. We made a podcast. We started it a few weeks before the NBA bubble started, which I'm pretty sure we all remember, which was in 2020. After the season had to be delayed because of COVID, they decided to bring it back, and they started a bubble in Orlando for games and the NBA playoffs to be played out specifically in that bubble. And all the teams and players, all the coaches, they had to stay there. So we ran our podcast through the early stages of the bubble and then the little bit early stages of the playoffs until we stopped. We stopped up about in the second or third round, and we didn't really say anything much about it. We kind of just stopped doing podcasts, and I believe our last episode was uploaded right after the second round, right before the Clippers Nuggets game 7, around that time frame. So I want to apologize for that. I probably should have said why we stopped. Basically, guys, me and Steven, if you guys didn't know, we just started college. We were seniors when we started the podcast, and we were in the weeks before. We were in the weeks before we head off to college when we did the podcast. We kept it for a little bit in college, but I go to Boston University. He goes to Indiana, and our schedules were different. They didn't align. So, you know, it was really hard to do the podcast, and we had to stop and focus on school. And flash forward to 2022. And we had to stop doing the podcast. And here we are. I decided to bring it back for the playoffs. And we have a new co-host. His name is Vineet Raju. Vineet, say what's up.
Yo, what's up, guys? Glad to finally get back to talking all things basketball.
Yeah, so let's just give a little recap. I met Vineet during freshman year. We're sophomores now. And Vineet's really in the NBA. I'm really in the NBA. So we decided to bring the podcast back. And we're going to try, no promises, but we should be able to. We're going to run into the playoffs. So much stuff has happened since the last time we recorded. Just for starters, I predicted Lakers-Celtics finals. We got Lakers Heat in 2020. That's pretty close, but I got the winner right. I did say Lakers in six, and Lakers won six. Just wanted to pat myself on the back for that. And then 2021, what a wild year, especially for my Brooklyn Nets. Man, it's been so much. But Vineet's a Celtics fan, actually. So, and the Celtics have had probably, it's a little too much to say one of the craziest regular seasons ever, but definitely this what the Celtics have done this year does not happen often. In fact, I don't think this has ever happened where a team has had this much of a turnaround. Vineet, please give us a season recap, how you felt in October or September to now, because it's been a crazy ride since we've gotten here.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about the Nets being a wild ride, and I'm like, I can totally relate. Maybe not in terms of the off-court drama, but definitely on terms on the floor. It's been a crazy, crazy ride from September to like April, like first week of April that we're recording. And coming into the season with Brad Stevens going into the front office, Udoka being our head coach, first-time head coach. We didn't have a great last year. We got destroyed by the Nets in the playoffs last year. Right. So the season started pretty much like the struggle that most Celtics fans expected, but just the type of basketball and the system we were playing was pretty tough to watch. Like average defense, great wings. Yeah. Lots and lots of iso ball, which are like incredibly tough to watch. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown get doubled, but don't pass out of doubles, forcing long twos, just playing not good basketball. And then I just flipped a switch early this year. I think the game that really surprised me was we were kind of beating teams but kind of losing close games. Like we lost a close game against the Hornets to start the year, but then I think late Jan, I think it was the 31st of Jan actually, we smashed the Miami Heat by 30 points. And I think from then,
yeah, I remember that game.
Complete flip switch. Insane defense. Marcus Smart has been a huge part of that. Obviously can't go without mentioning Bob Williams, been incredibly powerful. I think something that Udoka did, which I think more coaches will start to do, is that the switch defense was like we would do it in the bubble against the Miami Heat, which we eventually lost and then went to the finals. We would switch Kemba Walker out of situations to kind of protect him. But now Udoka, I think, was pretty smart. He would switch our defense and he would make Bob Williams switch on to players as a way to weaponize the defense. So you would put Bob Williams and switch him into good positions where he can make a defensive impact. I think that really was catalyst to our season completely turning around. We were 10 seed, barely 500, below 500 for most parts of the year to start.
Yeah, you guys were roughly halfway through the season. You guys were what, 19-21, and then since then you've had the best record in the league.
And it's been pretty crazy because I remember the Nets were like the 1 seed, 2 seed, and we were like the 10 seed, and now we're like the 2 seed, and the Nets kind of barely squeaked into the play-in. So how do you feel about the Nets regular season?
Wait, sorry, say that again?
I said, how do you feel about the Nets regular season?
Yeah. Okay. Anyone who knows me closely knows how much I get invested in these things. I love watching the Nets. They're my favorite team. I'm a diehard Brooklyn Nets fan. I have been ever since they were in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. But honestly, I can say this has probably been the most disappointing season. I think that my favorite season ever to watch was that one year, was the one year where D'Angelo Russell was an all-star and we squeaked into the playoffs and we had that series with Philly where we won game one and there was that huge fight in game four, I believe, which I was actually at that game where Jared Dudley and Jimmy Butler got ejected. But that was one of my favorite years because there was no expectations. There was no pressure. It was just a really fun team to watch. They all pulled for each other. They all loved playing with each other. And this year, it's kind of been the opposite where, you know, coming off of what happened last year, we went into the playoffs as the favorite. We ran through Boston, as mentioned earlier in the first round. And then we got Milwaukee. Before the series, I feel like everybody knew that series would be a bloodbath. At least I thought in the moment, whoever wins this series is making the finals, because I didn't think Philly or Atlanta would be able to test, would be able to put much of a fight against Milwaukee or Brooklyn. And the series started, and we were, after the first two games, we were legitimately blowing them out. Harden gets injured on the first play of game one, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, you've got to be kidding me. And he just, nothing happened. The very first play happened, he like tweaked his hamstring. He just walked off the court, like nothing said about it. We ended up winning that game by, I think, about 12 or 15. Game two was a blowout. We won by like 40 or 30. We were up by like 40 at one point. I think the final score ended up being us winning by 30. And then we barely lost game three in Milwaukee to just some bad plays, some bad execution down late. And then game four happens. We're down 46-42 in the second quarter. Kyrie makes a layup to make it 44. On his way down, he hits Giannis's foot. Kyrie's out for the series. And then it was just KD. And then they had some amazing battles. He had that amazing performance in game five. Game six, we lost by about 20. And then game seven, the overtime game. If Kevin Durant wears an 11.5 shoe, we're probably going to the third round. And after that series, after that heartbreak, I was just in the mindset, like, we just need our guys healthy. We need them healthy. We need them healthy. Because all year, the three trio of Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, they had played, I think, 14 games together, and we were like 12-2 in the games they played together. We had an unreal record when they all played together, but it just never happened. So going into this season, I had the mindset of, okay, I feel like our role players, we know what they're going to do, but we're a big three, so we're locked into our three guys. You know, this is our team, so I just need them healthy. If those three are healthy, I think we can beat anyone, and I truly felt that. I really did, you know. The Bucks wanted to win the championship, and I think it was safe to say we gave them their hardest test. We took them to 7, and we weren't even fully healthy, unlike the Suns, unlike Miami in the first round. You know, Trae Young got injured, but still, I feel like the Nets were the biggest threat to Milwaukee. So the season starts, Kyrie isn't vaccinated, and it was just a mess. It's been a mess from the beginning. So many different starting lineups. Kevin Durant gets hurt. The whole Harden trade request where I found that out in the moment, I was shocked. And I actually found that out after 3 o'clock because I wasn't on my phone at that time. I literally just got a class that day and I called my mom and I was like, my mom follows and that's a lot too, just like myself. And I call my mom and I'm like, Mom, did we trade Harden? I answer my phone roll and she's like, yeah, it's done. We got Ben Simmons back. And I was like, wow. So now we have Ben Simmons who hasn't played a game yet. He's rumored to play in game one. You know, he looks good in Instagram videos, but when does Ben Simmons not look good in open gym Instagram videos? So the season has been a huge disappointment. I really thought we'd be a top four seed, and it's gone really bad. Now we're in the play-in, which we'll get to that. But the season has been, it's been tough. I'm just happy that we have a chance to play for the playoffs. I'm happy that if we make the playoffs, we won't be playing the Bucks again, because I just don't want to watch that again. We might see the Celtics, who they're one of the hottest teams in the league, or we might see Miami. We'll get to the play-in implications. But the season has been crazy. I think that being in the, like, watching the Nets every game, it's definitely been up and down. We had that one stretch where we went 3-17 in 20 games. But when the season started, we were like 2 or 1 seed, and we weren't even playing that great. It's definitely been up and down. From an outsider's perspective, how shocked are you with how this Nets season has turned out? It's probably the Nets quote-unquote big three of Harden, KD, and Kyrie was, you know, one of the biggest missed opportunities, I think, in the league.
Oh, I think for sure. I think heading into the season, I think you were rightly betting favorites, title shot favorites, definitely coming out of the East. I think every fan for sure thought. And then just the entire drama, like, don't want to get into politics. Or I don't think we should talk about it that much, but the entire Kyrie vaccination status and then him not being able to play for most of the year and then playing only away games and then finally being able to play home games towards the backstretch of the season. I think that was a big distraction that definitely affected the locker room. And I think some players maybe rightly or wrongly question Kyrie's commitment to the team of his decision, right? I was alluding to that. And then James Harden requesting for a trade the second time in less than 2 years and then forcing his way out essentially by refusing to play, going out of shape, being just a negative influence in the locker room. Yeah. I think the one constant has been when healthy. KD has been unreal this year.
Yeah, when healthy. I think he's played
54 games, 55 games. Yeah.
And, you know, he's missed 27 games. That's roughly a third of the season. That's a big chunk. And, like, a superstar like Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the league, if a guy like that misses so much time, it's just really hard to maintain a top seed. You know, a few teams can do it. Like, the Grizzlies are probably the biggest exception, where John Morant's missed 20 games and they've had this unreal record without him. And they lost 2 or 3 times. They lost last night to the Celtics, but they didn't play at their 5 starters. They were 20-2, I think, at one point without Ja. Those things don't happen. The Lakers without LeBron are horrible. I mean,
Not that great with LeBron either, but
yeah, we're not talking about them, but they're even worse without him. The Warriors, I think, were 5-10 without Steph, maybe a little worse now. The Nets are 9-18 in the 27 games KD has missed. Normally, when your superstar misses that many games, it's not that great. And the Nets have definitely dealt with that issue. And listen, KD's an older player. He's going to get injured. That's what happens. And that's why I thought it was so great that we had Kyrie and Harden, because for the majority of the 2021 season last year, KD missed half that season. I want to say KD played 45 of the 72 games that season, but we were still the second seed because just having Kyrie and James on the floor was insane. And having James was a huge turnaround last season. I thought Harden was great for us in the locker room. You heard all these great stories about how he was a big voice. He was mentoring young players. And I thought, this is great. Like, James Harden is, you know, doing stuff that maybe people didn't know he was capable of. Obviously, that hasn't gone our way. We find ourselves in the 7th seed. We're going to get to the play-in. We're going to get to what we think is going to happen. Honestly, the play-in tournament, I mean, I know my team is in it. But, I mean, as someone whose team isn't in the play-in, and you're kind of rooting for good basketball, I mean, you are waiting to see who the Celtics get in that 2-7 matchup. People think it's going to be Brooklyn. It could be Cleveland. We don't know yet. Are you necessarily excited for that many play-in games? I don't know. The play-in isn't really catching my eye like it did last year, I guess.
I think it definitely adds an interesting dynamic to the back end of the NBA regular season that was not there like 5 years ago, like a couple of years ago. Like, if the first 4 seeds just blew out the regular season up by like 10 games to like the bottom half of the conference, then like kind of the back end of the season kind of can get boring. So I think the NBA just wanted to spice things up. But yeah, I do think there's some things that are like kind of unfair about it. Like the 7 seed having to potentially play like 2 games, and if they lose both, they're out of the playoffs. Whereas the 10 seed can win 2 games and they can be 10 games back in the regular season, but just make it to the play-in. Those kind of things, I think the NBA still has to figure out. But in terms of this season, I think the East can be very interesting if the Nets lose the first game, because then if, let's say, the Hawks beat the Hornets, like Hawks Nets for the 8th seed would be a great game, with Trae Young just like one game.
My he just goes for it.
Yeah, I mean, that would
be Ben Simmons, game. No Ben Simmons to contain Trae like he did in the second round last year. Here's the thing. I think that you know, the play-in's new, obviously the NBA, it's a good idea. You know, one and done, like March Madness style, is new in the NBA. It's always been a seven game type series thing. Having just a one game elimination is interesting. It definitely gets people to watch. I know I'll be watching every game. I'd be watching regardless. But I think the thing is that here's the Spurs and the Pelicans do not deserve to make the playoffs. They suck. They're not that good of a team. No one wants to see them get absolutely murdered by Phoenix in four games, with or without Chris Paul, with or without Devin Booker. Chris Paul and Devin Booker could play only the first half of that series, and they would absolutely destroy them. There's not a doubt in my mind that Phoenix would just destroy those teams. Minnesota and the Clippers deserve to make it. They're both above 500. I want to say the Clippers are above 500, or they're just on the brink of it. I think they're 41-41 or 42-40, one of those records. And the Timberwolves have had a great year. They've had a really bounce. They've had a great bounce back year after the last one.
Yeah, I think the Clippers
those teams,
are 42
those teams deserve to make the playoffs. I feel like a play-in isn't even needed in the West, because teams that are more than five games below 500, personally, I don't think belong in the playoffs. No one wants to see that. They have no chance. There's no. I just don't see the upside of playing those games. The East is a little different because all the teams are separated. Every team in the East play-in is separated by a game. And I know Brooklyn probably has the edge in just star power, but all those teams have been on equal footing throughout the majority of the season if you want to just look at wins. So I feel like the East is a lot more interesting, in my opinion. We'll get to the play-in. I know you're definitely watching the play-in closely because your team, it's decided who you guys play tomorrow. We're recording this on the 11th of April, the day before the play-in starts. But let's just go into season recaps really quickly. We don't have to go all the way through it. Just really quickly, give me your MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, and if I'm missing anything, Most Improved Player.
Yeah.
And I'll give him with you.
Yeah, so for MVP, probably not a favorite with the two horse that everybody's been calling for, but I have Giannis. I just think he's been unbelievable. Like, sounds crazy to say, but I think he took a leap from where he was last year.
Yes.
He's just been on a mission, completely driven, even though he got his finals MVP last year. So that's my MVP. Defensive Player of the Year. I think Draymond was a very early favorite with the Warriors playing lights out defense very early.
Draymond was mine until he got injured. It was just,
he got injured, defense. So he doesn't have enough games under his belt to give that. I think it's time the NBA goes back to giving guards Defensive Player of the Year. It's a little bit of bias here, but I think
it's Marcus Smart love.
Yeah, so Marcus Smart, give him his flowers. I think he's my Defensive Player of the Year.
He's one of the best defensive players in the league. He's a guard. Like, that just doesn't happen.
It's crazy. Like, his advanced stats defensively, like defensive plus minus.
For all the people that watch Marcus Smart, he has possessions, and he had it in that Bucks game when they played the Bucks
Oh my god.
He has some plays where he looks like a defensive back, like a cornerback or a safety. The way he reads plays and the way he moves, it's so unorthodox. When he reads a passing lane or he sees a switch and he's able to call it off. Marcus Smart, every youth basketball coach should be showing film of Marcus Smart and how to defend, because he's never the biggest guy on the court, but he kind of carries himself that way. And it's never an easy 2 points when Smart – or when Smart is just near you, let alone he's the one guarding you.
Yeah, I think he's been lights out, especially. I was a little bit concerned when we were on that crazy hot run the back half of the season from like late Jan onwards, when he was given an increasingly more important role in the offense. Like, he was basically de facto point guard running the show night in, night out. I thought maybe his defense would drop off a little bit, but he sustained it. He kept at it. None of his numbers dropped off. He was still incredible. So I have Defensive Player Marcus Smart. And then Coach of the Year, I just think you have to give it to Monty Williams. Like, the Suns team have just been dominant.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're by far the only 60-win team in the league. They're so far ahead in the West. They literally didn't have to play D-Book and CP the last 10 games of the season, and it would not have mattered.
Yeah.
So I think there are some other coaches that could be candidates. Like, I think Udoka from the Celtics for the
turnaround. I'm surprised you didn't. I'm surprised you didn't say Udoka.
I know, but I just think there has to be something that's said about being that dominant from day one.
When a team is like 9 wins above everybody else, that's saying something. Yeah. Reminiscent of the 2014 Spurs.
Yeah, I've heard some shout-outs for the Grizzlies head coach because of the job he's done without Ja Morant in the 24 games that Ja has missed. But I think it has to be Monty Williams. And then most improved, because I think Ja missed 24 games and he won't get any MVPs, I think he should get MIP, most improved player. I think he still deserves it, even though he missed a bunch of games towards the back end.
So Ja's most improved.
Yeah, he jumped up from like an all-star to like MVP level player when he was playing. Team was amazing. Plays great team ball. He doesn't have crazy usage numbers, so his stats are pretty incredible for the usage he has. And then Sixth Man of the Year, kind of, I think I'd throw up this year. Not like any runaway candidates, but I have Bridges from the Hornets. I think he's been great, so I would have him.
Let's go on. Yeah, there's many. It's tough with these NBA awards because I've been very critical of the NBA awards in the past because they only count the regular season and a lot of things can be blurred. And you have years like 2017 where a guy like Russell Westbrook wins the MVP, and we all know he's not better than Steph, KD, or LeBron. I mean, anyone who watched basketball in 2017 wasn't saying that Russ was better than those three players. And when he wins the MVP, and that's great. He had a tremendous year. Get all that, but The playoffs is where, you know, things truly matter. The playoffs is where legacies are made. The playoffs, everyone knows the playoffs are a different animal. It's the highest level of basketball in the world, the NBA playoffs. That's where it should be decided who wins the MVP. But that's just how it is. I get it. Regular season awards. I think just really quickly, my MVP is, I think the job Jokic has done with that roster is incredible. If you look at the games, if you look at the standings, they're like 4 games behind Milwaukee. That's incredible because that team is not close to the Bucks. Like, Giannis' supporting cast is much better than Jokic's. And I know they're playing in different conferences, but I would probably give it to Jokic just an edge because he's leveled up his game. But if you want to give it to Giannis, I'm totally fine with that. Either of them could take it. I really don't care. Both of them deserve it for the years they're having. I think that Defensive Player of the Year definitely was Jaylen Green at the start of the year. Now, I want to give it to – I really want to say Jaren Jackson Jr., but he probably won't win it. Instead, I mean, Mikal Bridges is a good shout. Bam, but Bam maybe hasn't played enough. Smart, definitely. I don't know. For Defensive Player of the Year, it's kind of tough because it's really tough for me to just give it to one guy, but – again, there's like 4 different candidates. I'd be fine with Jaren. I'd be fine with Marcus. I'd be fine with Giannis.
Yeah, there you go. I think Giannis, probably very unlikely, but I think he's a dark horse to win Defensive Player of the Year. Like, I mean, I would not be mad at all if he won MVP Defensive Player of the Year again.
Yeah, I think there's so many good Defensive Player of the Year candidates that you could really go with any of them. Coach of the Year, I actually think it's Udoka, just because this team hasn't really changed from last year. I mean, they have how they played, but it's pretty much the same roster. They made 2 key trades and trading away Schroeder, getting Schroeder out of there, bringing in Derek White, bringing in Tice, which has been great. And they got Horford. But the team has relatively been the same. And I get the Suns are on this historic win pace, but for what Udoka has been able to get out of that team and the fact that they have the second seed in the East, they've just had an incredible year. I remember at the beginning of the season where Udoka was really challenging guys, and a lot of people were saying, ooh, maybe Udoka is going too far. But these guys have clearly responded. And I think for the job Udoka has done, I would probably give it to him. But again, if you want to give it to Monty Williams, if you want to give Taylor Jenkins to the Grizzlies, I'm fine with that. There's just so many candidates for these things. My most improved is actually, I think that Ja Morant is probably the favorite. And he probably will get it, but I don't know. I just like Darius Garland for it because, I mean, personally, Ja Morant, just think, the leap that Ja Morant has taken from, like, maybe borderline all-star to potential top 12 player in the league, that leap is harder than the leap Garland has made. So he should win it. But Garland just had such a great year, and nobody expected Cleveland to do anything. I know they've dropped off a little bit. They faced some really brutal injuries down the stretch, but it's probably John Morant. Just wanted to give Darius Garland some love. I'd say that my rookie of the year, we didn't say rookie of the year, it has to be Mobley. Evan Mobley should be rookie of the year. Scotty Barnes, yeah, great year. Kate Cunningham.
I don't think it's a question at all. Like, Mobley's impact to the Cavs. Scotty Barnes has been great for the Raptors back half of the season, but I just think Mobley just start to finish, just dominant, one of the best defensive rookies we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I wonder if Mobley would get put on a defensive team. He could. There's only two, but he has a chance. I think that Mobley's just been so impressive from playing in and out. That guy's like an alien when you watch him on defense. His wingspan is incredible. Mobley is probably a sure all-star player for years and years to come. He's had such a great rookie year. And I know when in awards like MVP especially MVP, wins factor in a lot. And then with awards like Rookie of the Year, wins probably aren't as big of a factor. And I get Cleveland is a great team, but seeing rookies come in and immediately, you know, compete and contribute to a team that has a great chance of making the playoffs, that's always really impressive to me. I know Cade Cunningham's been great. I know Josh Giddey's been great. But I don't think anyone would argue that Mobley and Barnes are probably the two most impressive rookies this year. I mean, they've been incredible.
I just think they've been so far ahead of everybody else. I think you can kind of club in Cade with them. Obviously, Cade doesn't have as good a team to support him as...
Yeah, Cade faces a lot. That kid's up for a lot right here.
He is.
But, and that's also, just really quickly, a thing with Cade that kind of bothers me about how young players look at just their standing in the draft. It's that when so many players come in to the NBA draft as a rookie, everybody has that motto, I want to be a lottery pick. I want to be the number one pick. I want to get as much money as possible. Listen, I get all that. If you're a young kid, if you have a chance to be in the lottery, why wouldn't you be in the lottery? But here's the thing. Rookie contracts from the 11th pick to like the 20th pick. And I get it. It's a big difference in reality of millions. But in the NBA world of contracts, it's really not that big of a difference. And so many guys just get caught up in, I want to go as high as possible. But that's not always the best route. And Matisse Thybul, he's in his third year of the Sixers. He was in a very unique spot where the Sixers told him they were drafting him a few months before. Boston actually drafted him. You guys drafted him, but the trade was already engineered that the Sixers would get Thybul. Because the Sixers really valued Thybul's skill set. And because of that, Thybul's a guy who plays like 30 minutes a night for them. And I love watching Matisse Thybul. We'll get to him when we give our all defensive themes really quickly. He's been able to contribute right off the gate for a great team. And being in a situation that Matisse Thybul is in, where you get to play with a guy like Joel Embiid, you get to play with a guy like, well, now it's James Harden, it was Ben Simmons. But when you get to play with those two great players, you get to be around a winning culture, and you get to be on a team where your skill set is valued. You know your role immediately. You're not tasked with trying to figure out your role and where you fit on this team. You have a great coach. I get the Dr. Rich slander over the years of blowing many leads, but he's still a great coach. If you get put into an environment like that immediately, it's worth it to sacrifice going a little bit higher in the draft. And so many rookies just caught up, I want to make the most money. I want to get paid the highest. I want to be in the spotlight. But sometimes it's best just to be on a good role. So, Cade, I love that you went one, but, you know, it'd probably be, I mean, look at the situation he's in. It sucks. And I get it. You go one. It's cool. But it's not always the best thing for your career. I get he doesn't control that, but just a thing I feel like rookies should keep in mind when going through the draft.
I 100% agree with you on that. Like, so many times, just the situation you get drafted into is a much, much bigger factor in terms of your overall career trajectory than your actual skill set. Like, for example, I think Thybul talks about it on this great episode on the JJ Redick podcast, like how he was able to optimize and perfect his skill set on that Sixers team than he would have anywhere else, probably. And he was able to actually improve the things that he was already good at instead of having to kind of do everything and kind of be decent and not great at what he's good at.
And Matisse Thybul, he's a great player.
I mean, he's all... He's all defensive first team this year, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, just the way the Sixers use him, it's perfect. And yeah, his minutes have gone up every year. He went from 20 to now he's at about 25 this year. And, you know, just so many rookies, especially the higher drafted ones, they just get immediately drafted to the best team. And I get it. Teams that are drafting the lottery always look for the best guy. But being in a system or being on a team where they value your skill set, you know, Matisse Thybulle doesn't have any job security. He doesn't, or he's not scared of his job security. He knows he's going to be there. They want him there. They draft him there because of his skill set. His very unique skills, I must say. You just don't see defenders like Thybulle very often. He's like an octopus on the perimeter. Whenever he's near the ball, I'm afraid he's a Nets fan. And he's had a great, I mean, nothing special, but I think he's had a tremendous career so far for not being drafted in the lottery, because so many players that can draft from the late first round don't amount to anything. But Matisse Thybulle, he's been great so far, and he gets to contribute for a great team. They got a shot, who knows, making the finals run. Really quickly, just my all-defensive teams really quickly. I would say, what's funny is I don't even know if Giannis is in my first team. Forwards, I would say definitely Mikal Bridges. I'll just say Giannis. Ooh, I want to say Jaren Jackson. But I actually think Rudy Gobert should get mentioned in the first team. There's been a lot of anti-Jazz stuff recently because there's rumors about Mitchell wanting out and, you know, that they've underachieved in the past few years. They had that huge blunder last year in the playoffs. They blew a 3-1 lead the year before in the bubble. I get it. They've had some missteps. But they're still a great team when they're healthy. I mean, they're the 5-seed now. They're going to play 4-seed Mavericks in the playoffs. We'll get to it when we do our playoff predictions. Mavericks, I think, have the edge in that series because how special Luka's had this year. How special Luka's been this year. But I still think the Jazz are a great team. The pieces fit. They got a great coach in Quinn Snyder. And if I'm a team on the outside that's looking to make a trade or looking to get put over the edge, like a playoff team, for example, the Mavericks or, I don't know, the Nets, Rudy Gobert is the guy I'm looking to trade for. Because not only is I feel like the value is a little down on him right now, but the Jazz have less leverage with this Donovan Mitchell situation. So let's say the Mavericks beat them in the first round and Mitchell starts looking sideways at the Jazz front office. The first thing they're probably going to do is trade Gobert, you know, get some new faces in. If I'm a team who needs a rim protector, and a lot of playoff teams do, or could use a great center, like imagine the Mavericks had him, or I don't know, the Brooklyn Nets had Rudy Gobert. I think that he could help so many teams because his skill set is so unique, and you just don't see defenders with that frame and that ability to just protect the rim like that. I mean, he's still an amazing defensive player. I know the hype has kind of died about him, but if I'm a team who needs a rim protector, I'm looking to trade Gobert after this season. I think that not only will his value be down because of the Mitchell thing, but also I just feel like people aren't talking about him enough. I'm pretty sure he wasn't an all-star this year. That's what I'm looking at.
I think for somebody that was not, I mean, that was at least the fans who watch basketball claim like he's overrated and he's not good, he's not a great basketball player.
Yeah,
and that's talking about somebody who has won a defensive player in the past. I think Rudy Gobert is one of the most underrated defensive basketball players, as crazy it is to say, because so much of what he does doesn't show up in the stat sheet. Like, he's a great at boxing out. He's a good defensive rebounder.
Yeah, and his ability is near the rim, only is he altering shots and blocking shots, but guys just think three times about going to the paint when he's in the game under the rim. And you can see it when you watch them. So I would probably put him first team defensive. If you don't want to, I get it. Giannis is there. Jaren Jackson. If you want to put deserve probably to be first team.
Yeah, so my defensive first team, obviously guards for me, like no question, Thybulle and Marcus Smart.
Really? Talk about
them. And I think this is going to sound crazy, but I just think from a pure, like, I think something that should also matter is like peak. Like, I know it's just one season, but at their peak in that season, what were they doing? Guys think Draymond Green was so much better than any other defensive player. Like, he was...
He just hasn't played enough. I think he's in the 40s.
Yeah, I think he barely played half the season. But he's been unreal. Like, I think so much better than any defensive player. Though, just his mind single-handedly, like, changes the way teams play offense. So I think I have Thybulle, Smart, Green as my first forward. I have Giannis as my second forward. And then I have Gobert as my center. So I leave off Jaren Jackson Jr.,
And Bam.
And Bam and Jaren Jackson Jr. are the two forwards. on my second
they
team.
They definitely get mentioned on the second
And then
team.
I have Embiid on my second team as well.
Who else?
On my second team, so the guards, I have Gary Payton's the second, Warriors. Mikal Bridges from the Suns. Bam and Jaren Jackson Jr. And then Joel Embiid for center.
Okay, see, I would cheat.
Is it just me, or do
I
you
would
hate?
Cheat put Bridges at forward.
See, that's what I'm saying. I was just going to bring this up. Don't you hate forward. The fact that the NBA still makes us put positions when the game is so positionless?
Yeah, I've talked about it a million times. I actually do my all. I do my own All-NBA teams at the end of the season, and I count the playoffs in those All-NBA teams. Basketball's positionless, and it has been for the last few years. It shouldn't be dictated on if a guy is a center or a forward. And in the when the people do the NBA teams, Jokic or Embiid will get snubbed in some people's list because they only accept like one center for the NBA teams. But everybody knows those guys deserve. Like if Embiid makes a second team All NBA, that's kind of ridiculous. He's about to lead. He led the league in
that's
scoring.
Crazy.
This year.
He's
pretty crazy.
He's probably going to end up being second in one of the closest MVP races we've had all time, and he's going to be second All NBA. Like
yeah.
It makes no sense.
I would say that really quickly for defensive teams. I would say Giannis, Gobert, and I would actually say Bridges for my three forwards. And then for my guards, I'd have Marcus Smart, and I'd actually have DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray for the Spurs has been insane. I just love what
over
he brings.
Over Thibault?
Yeah, I actually would put him over Thibault. He brings it every night, and he's just gone to a crazy level this year. I mean, he might get some most improved buzz. He probably won't win it. Borderline all-star. Again, if you want to give it to Thibault, that's great. I just love the DeJounte Murray story. I love how great he's been this year, but I get it. Thibault will probably be it. Thibault's definitely in my second team. I'd also put Jrue Holiday in that second team because he's been so great. And then my forwards for second team, I still want to throw in Draymond just because he's so great, even though he's missed time.
You
and
have
with
to.
Draymond,
have to have
I would
there.
Say Jaren Jackson Jr. and Bam. That'd probably be my second team.
I mean, I think this season super solid teams can argue if you have Jaren Jackson Jr. and like Draymond second team, kind of hard to argue that.
Yeah, and I love Thibault. I'm getting kind of cute wanting to put DeJounte Murray on it, but Thibault probably deserves it. I just love DeJounte Murray so much. Just for what that Spurs team has been. See, I'm just factoring in how great DeJounte Murray's been in general, and that's not fair for defensive teams. Thibault should probably be it, but just what people expect of the Spurs. And the fact that they're in the play and playing for a playoff spot. I get it.
That's crazy.
This year, but hey, they're in it. They're there. Yeah. And they've done their part. I think that's something to say. DeJounte Murray, overhead, their best player, had a great year. Let's do really quickly our All-NBA.
You want to do All-NBA teams?
We've actually spoke about this off the pod. I think we have like identical ones. Just run through it really quickly. I don't think we have to argue about much of this.
So my first team, center, Jokic. I'm sorry, Embiid.
Yeah, I agree. Jokic should be there. But Jokic is.
I'm not doing the cheating and having Embiid as a forward. Like, I just can't do that. That's not the rules. NBA should change it.
Yep.
So Jokic is center. Tatum and Giannis as my forwards. Tatum, unbelievable. Celtics second seed.
Agreed.
Stats are off the charts.
Both players were already at like a superstar or borderline superstar level for Tatum, and now they've upticked it, and their teams are amazing.
Yeah, and then my guards are Book and Luka.
Yep.
Luka. Unreal after they traded Porzingis. So that's my first team. Do you want to quickly go through your first team and then we can just alternate?
I got the same thing. Book has been tremendous. He'll get MVP buzz. And I actually think that with the exception of Embiid, probably, if you look at the first team, those are probably five of the six top MVP candidates. And Jokic, not Jokic. Embiid is probably in there too. We'll get the second team. Embiid's definitely there. But Book has been amazing. He brings it every night. His team is overhead the best team. He's been amazing. I actually think you could argue Book has actually gone up a level. And guys like Book, Tatum, I think probably specifically Book and Tatum this year, they just have this swagger to them. Like they think they're the best player on the court of pretty much every court they step on. And I don't know. I just feel like Booker might have had it more in him than Tatum. But they just have this attitude about them that I love, and I love the way they carry themselves to them. And Book and Tatum are two of probably the two them and Luka are probably the three best players under age 25 in the league right now. And they all deserve
probably,
their spot.
I mean Book has just been so impressive.
Yeah. Very young first team All NBA, I must say.
Yeah, from just when the bubble since then, I mean, he's been so super confident in his game. I mean, just since day one, he knows he's a great scorer, gets to his spots, doesn't force extremely tough shots all the time. Pretty good, pretty efficient scorer. I mean,
he has
the potential to be an all-timer, at least scoring-wise, if he keeps this up.
Really hoping he can get to the second round this year. I think they'll do it this year, but
I think
luckily he's not going to get the Clippers again.
Yeah, I think, do you want to give your second team and then I can give mine?
Yeah, I think we also have the same second team. My second team would be Steph. I know he's been injured, but Steph would probably be first team if not. He's been amazing this year, and he's a big reason why the Warriors are the third seed. Steph, Trae Young. I get Trae's team isn't that great, but Trae is running a top three offense by himself, which is not being talked about enough. He's had an amazing year. Efficiency's off the charts. He plays almost every night. He's unguardable. And he's probably the sole reason why the Hawks even have a chance and earn this play-in.
Without John Collins, let's remember. He's been out.
True. Yeah. Those would be my guards. Then my forwards would be Embiid at center. And I would say my other two forwards would be... That's tough. Forwards is a little more dicey. I want to say Durant. He only has played 55 games, but it just feels weird putting anyone above Durant. Who do you have? I think Durant in one spot.
Yeah, so guards, Steph and Trae. Just great offensive numbers. Steph's kind of shooting's kind of dropped off a little bit from the scorching hot.
It's still Steph Curry here.
Yeah, it's still Steph Curry. I have center, obviously, Joel Embiid. And then I have Kevin Durant. And then even the last forward choice, I was kind of questioning it. I was going to put DeMar on there, but DeMar gets the – I think he's on my third team. So I just went ahead and put – I know I was kind of cheating, but
– Who is it?
I just had to do it. I just put Karl Anthony Towns on there.
Interesting. See, he would – He's supposed to be listed at center, right?
Yeah, I think he started most games at center.
He deserves it. He's been incredible this year. And I know he said those things about how he wants to be the best shooting forward of all time or the best shooting big man of all time. And I think he's credited Dirk as saying Dirk is that, but he's on his way. Towns has been amazing. I really want to see him in the playoffs again. Last time he was there was 2018, and he sucked. He was really bad. It was that Minnesota team with Jimmy Butler, and they were going against Houston, and Houston – just destroyed them. I really want to see him in the playoffs again. He's a much different player now. It's so crazy that Ja Morant isn't in our first and second teams, because halfway through the season, people were probably saying he was first team with like Steph Curry or something. Yeah. So leaving Ja off is tough, but I think you got to do it. Now listen, if Towns is eligible, he's there, but if not, you have to go to DeMar DeRozan, right?
Yeah, I had the same thing. I guess if I'm not cheating on Joel Embiid, I can't cheat on Karl Anthony Towns. I guess my second team would be Steph, Trae, KD, DeMar DeRozan, and then
DeRozan's been phenomenal. There's no shame in that.
There's no shame in putting him up there.
It's tough because I want to say this is like the best year of DeRozan's career, weirdly. Because, I mean, just the way he's been able to reinvent himself is also really impressive. So, DeRozan.
I guess he answered the biggest question that everybody had. Can he extend his mid-range up to the three-point line? And he has been – it's not great, but he's been shooting reliably enough.
Yep. Amazing on crunch time, too.
More space for his jumper. So, yeah, that's good. So, third team. I think this is where it gets so tricky. I mean – so guards is pretty straightforward. Guards, they've been super strong guards this year. We kind of have to leave off some really good guards. But
Mitchell probably gets left off, right?
Yeah, Mitchell gets left off, which is kind of crazy because his stats are, I mean, off the charts. I guess things have been more quiet in terms of the hype around Utah this year, so that's why. But guards, I have CP and Ja. Both have missed a bunch of time this year, but just can't leave them off.
It just feels weird not putting them on there. Chris Paul, when you look at his stats, it's like, just fifth. I mean, he's averaging 11 assists. He's the assistant.
He's averaging 10.8
year, right?
assists.
I think he's only getting like 15-11. So
yeah, he's 15-11. I think
And his 3-point percentage is weirdly down. He's only shooting like 31, which is uncharacteristic of him. But I agree, Chris Paul and Ja Morant should be there.
I have a question for you.
Center should be Towns.
Center is Towns, no question about it. So forward.
Or your two forwards.
So question for you: do you put LeBron on there? I know he had an insane season, like 30 points per game. I think that's one of the oldest people to do it at his age. But the Celtics, the Lakers have been an absolute shit show with the entire Westbrook saga. Frank Vogel not having any power, not being able to bench Westbrook late in games. Anthony Davis.
Davis is really disappointing.
Huge part of the season. Yeah. But it just sounds crazy to say that there are 15 better players in the league than LeBron James. So I kind of hesitantly put LeBron and then my next forward is just Siakam. Siakam's been great this year.
Yeah, it's like LeBron should probably make it. It's tough to say a guy who averages 38-6 for the season above 50%.
At 37, by the way, let's not forget.
26 PER. Like, how do you leave that guy off? And he'll probably get it because it's LeBron. Everybody who knows me knows how much I love LeBron. But this season has been really rough. Again, I don't think it's all on LeBron for the season. There's been a lot of factors that have happened with that Lakers team, how they've handled things, and some injuries that have come their way. But they're just not good. They're not very good. I know winning gets impacted with these things. I would say that for my last two forwards, it's just, okay, here's what I'm struggling with. Siakam is having, also you could probably argue, maybe the best year of his career. I know he's very young, but what he's been able to do for Toronto is incredible. He's played more games than LeBron. LeBron's only at 56. Siakam's at 68. Here's the thing, though. What do you do with the Miami boys? Because Jimmy and Bam they're both at around 60 games. They're at like 56, 57. Do either of them get third team for you?
I don't think... I mean, is Bam classified as a forward or a center? I guess...
Yeah, he has possessions where he plays both.
Yeah. I mean, I was considering Jimmy, but Jimmy, I don't think he's played enough games.
He's played just as many games as LeBron. I know his team is winning, but look at his,
I know, but
look at that roster.
But Jimmy, what Jimmy's doing is different from what LeBron is doing with the same number of games. I mean, without LeBron, that Lakers team probably doesn't win 20 games.
I'm with you. LeBron's Siakam is probably safe, but
I think LeBron is safe. I think if somebody had Jimmy over Siakam, I can't complain about it.
Like if they don't make it, would this be the first year where a first seed has no All NBA players? It has to be.
It is in recent times. I mean,
yeah,
I think Jimmy had that weird moment, like obviously, like a couple of weeks ago with Eric Spoelstra, where they kind of like went off on each other and like it's not been really resolved. Like,
what a weird situation.
What it was. Usually Jimmy just comes out and be like, hey, shit happens. We're playing hard basketball. That's what great minds do. Like, we argue and we kind of resolve it. Like, he hasn't come out and said that. That's what Jimmy usually does. So, I mean, I don't have him, but if somebody does, can't complain about it. Great season, number one seed.
Yeah, so third team, Siakam, LeBron, Towns, CP, and...
Ja.
And, yeah, Ja Morant. That's right, Ja Morant. That's third team. Not mad at that. Okay. So, moving on to our awards of the season. And again, the regular season awards, I personally don't really care for them. It's fun to look at. The MVP race is always a big topic of conversation in the NBA. I get all that.
I agree. But you know what would be really interesting?
The playoff awards matter.
Updated all NBA teams after the playoffs.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I think that one problem that NBA has with these awards and like with the All-Star awards is, like, for example, a guy like Jaylen Brown isn't an All-Star because the season, like, they do All-Star awards so early. And it stinks that the NBA doesn't have awards where you can look at them and clearly say, and it can clearly map out like how a season went, like, oh, these were the best guys. These guys matter the most to their teams. Because it's hard to do these things. When the season ends, that's normally when the narrative starts to fly about who were the best players, who weren't. Normally we don't find out until like the finals.
But then the question becomes, I guess, as I said, they do it after the playoffs. Then LeBron probably doesn't make the teams because we have like 8 weeks of playoff basketball under our belt. And I guess that's also not fair on LeBron because he had like an historic regular season for his age.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Youngest and oldest player to average over 30 points per game, LeBron James.
Yeah.
So, I mean, NBA awards, whatever. But it's fun to look through them by yourself and just see and just place guys after the playoffs. And you'd be surprised at how much your rankings would change. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah, we should do that. We should see who we kick off, who we keep on.
Let's get to modern times right now. The play-in starts tomorrow. Tomorrow we have the Nets playing the Cavaliers, winner against the 7 seed. Loser has to play the winner of the 9-10. And the Clippers playing the Timberwolves, winner against the 7 seed in the West. Loser has to play the winner of Spurs-Pelicans.
I mean, quickly before we – I think we should start with the East because both of our teams are on the East. But yeah. I think quickly before you give your Nets spiel and what you think will happen, as a Celtics fan, as the 2 seed who was kind of – we were on a call last night thinking about all the ways the Celtics can get the 3rd seed because I did not want to play the Nets at all.
You're for Cleveland?
I'm fully rooting for Cleveland. I want Cleveland to just come out, blow the gates right off the Nets, give them vengeance to win that 8th seed and play the Heat. Give all the bad energy to the Heat so the Nets can kind of beat the Heat and then we can kind of move on. But I think the Nets are favored against the Cavs. I think they are, I think from start to finish, they're a more talented team. They might not have a better system. Like, I think the Cavs probably play better team basketball, but I think just the fact that you have the all-world talent of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I think that gives you guys the edge. So I think Nets-Cavs in that first game, I think the Nets are favored. And then Hawks-Hornets, I think that the Hawks have that. I think Trae Young is unstoppable. I don't think the Hornets have anybody that can stop Trae Young. I don't think LaMelo has been particularly good in like crunch time games this year. He's kind of taken bad shots, been kind of errant as like young
players. The Hornets, they came out pretty hot. They had a really good first half this season, but they've really died down since.
Yeah, I think they've kind of regressed to the mean. So I think Hawks are favored against the Hornets in the first game. I think Nets beat the Cavs. And I think to wrap up, Hawks-Cavs is going to be a great game of basketball. I think the Cavs overall as a team have too much talent. I don't think Trae Young can overcome them on his own in one game. I think Evan Mobley's coming back for these play-in games. I think they have the added defensive.
Yep. Mobley put in that Nets game too.
Of Mobley's length.
That was really crucial.
Yeah, I think that's huge, and that gives the Cavs the edge. I think it ends up being, as it is right now actually, 7 seed Nets who end up playing the Celtics. And then 8 seed Cavs play the Heat.
See, I'm going the other way. I think the Hawks can make it. I know they have to win 2 games. I know it'd be really tough for them to do that. If they play the Hornets, I feel like that game, the game could go either way. The Hawks aren't a great roster. I just really like Trae Young's chances in one game. He strikes me as the type of player that, we've seen him rise to the occasion in the playoffs. I know it was only one playoffs, but he really rose to the challenge in his first playoffs. I think he's the type of player that just would really excel in an environment like this. And I think that he's dangerous against anyone in one game. Remember, in that playoff run they had, he won games against every team they went against. And he had games where he took over. I don't think that can be discounted. Also, if you look at the lines right now, the Nets are a -8.5 favorite, I believe, over Cleveland. And I don't understand how we're that big of a favorite. We can't defend anyone, and the Nets just haven't been an amazing team. I know you're really scared of facing them. If Ben Simmons comes back, that could be interesting. But it seems like Jared Allen is out for the play-in. It was still kind of an unclear. I'm actually seeing a report 43 minutes ago from Yahoo Sports. Jared Allen out for Cavaliers in play-in game. I think that if Jared Allen isn't playing, then the Nets have the edge. But again, if they had Jared Allen, I almost want to be picking them. But I'm so over this Nets team. Like, they've just been so up and down. They've closed out the season pretty strong, and we have most of our guys healthy at least at this point. Still missing Joe Harris, of course, throughout this whole year, and Ben Simmons, TBD on that, hasn't played a game yet. I just think that in one game, Durant and Kyrie should not be losing at home. They just shouldn't be. And, I feel like it's probably unfair if they lose those 2 games. Like, it's only 2 games, not a whole series. But man, if we don't make the play-in, that would just be so brutal. I think they're gonna make it, and then in that 8th seed, I can see the Hawks getting it. I'm going with the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean the Cavs Hawks game is like throw up. I think either team has a chance, and
Cavs are just kind of on a skid right now. Hawks are playing like a little better basketball than they were.
I think Hawks. You're completely right in like backing Trae Young in a single game, basically a playoff game. Like,
Trae Young it'll be a playoff
does not
game.
Bend over for the pressure. I mean, he's unbelievable in these moments. So, I would not be surprised if Trae Young absolutely dominates and just somehow drags that Hawks team into the playoffs.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, Chase had an incredible year. It's kind of going under the radar a little bit. But I think Nets Hawks, if it's Nets Cavs, I wouldn't be surprised. It's just the Nets just, they just need to be there. I mean, for my sake, I really hope they are there. I'll be rooting for it, obviously. Man, it's one and done. It's March Madness style, so anybody could win.
Yeah, but I just think the chances of KD not making, just willing his team to win like last year's playoffs, like he'll drop 50, but he'll get you guys through.
The Nets are 9-18 without Durant this season. They're a different team with him.
Yeah, we are. And that, I mean, they are,
contributes to kind of our record this year. But
I think moving on to the West, I think there's a really, really interesting story that's brewing with the Clippers. I mean, got PG back a week or 10 days ago.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good in his return. Kawhi seems to be progressing well, and he's soon to return. I don't know if there's an exact timetable
yet. We've talked about this. If Kawhi comes back, that changes everything.
Yeah.
And that's actually, like, imagine, let's say the Clippers win. They get Memphis. Memphis had this amazing year. You know, they haven't made the playoffs since, like, the Gasol and Zach Randolph days and Mike Conley. They haven't made the playoffs in a while. They've had this great year. Second seed. Awesome year. John Morant's really emerged. And imagine the Clippers are like, all right, here's our team. We got Kawhi and Paul George back.
Whoever runs into them. I mean, even if they lose to the Minnesota team and then they face the Suns and then Kawhi and PG are back, I don't know if the Suns are favored in that series.
Yeah, the Suns have, I think this is the best winning clip the franchise has ever had. They're favored.
Better than the Nash years?
Right now. Probably should be because of how historic their season's been. And if they get a 1-8 matchup with a healthy Clippers team, I will still take the Suns in that matchup. I think they have great wings to guard Kawhi and PG. And I think that the Clippers, if they just get back Kawhi, I don't know if that'll be enough to put them over the Suns. If they beat the Suns, oh my gosh, they might make a title. They might make a finals run. But it's just a first round series with Kawhi, his first game being in the playoffs. I still have the Suns in that. I would still go Suns. But if they come back for the Grizzlies, I almost want to say it's like a toss up. Maybe Clippers favored. Who would you favor in that? Healthy Clippers team.
I mean, if Kawhi comes back healthy and he plays 80% of peak Kawhi, like in his first year's back, and the Clippers bench, I mean, or like the rest of the role players play the way they've been playing throughout the season to keep them in that 8th spot, I think the Clippers have a great chance of making second, third round. I think they definitely come out of the first round. I think they can beat the Suns if they play the Suns and the Grizzlies for sure. But I just think
you would pick them. You think they could beat the Suns?
I think they can beat the Suns. Oh, wow. I think it'll be a 7-game series. But I think with Kawhi and PG, it adds like a dynamic that I don't think any team like this season is like equipped to handle in the West.
Yeah, and just quickly on the West plan, I think that for Minnesota and the Clippers, as long as they have Paul George, even if they didn't, as long as they have Paul George, I just can't see the Spurs or Pelicans making the playoffs. I know it's only one game, but Towns and the Timberwolves had a great season. They have the best winning clip, I think, of any team to play in. And PG and the Clippers, those teams shouldn't be losing to the Spurs or Pelicans. And it'll be like a playoff game. Ty Lue, I mean, we haven't really mentioned him, Coach of the Year. He's done an amazing job with that roster and what they've had all year.
Great job. Amazing. Amazing coaching job. I mean, I think he kind of redeemed himself. I think in the Cavs years, he was kind of like, just a token coach.
Agreed.
Just because LeBron liked him. People didn't respect his coaching skills, especially the kind of defensive schemes he was coming up against those Warriors teams. But I think with the Clippers, he's been really able to show his coaching prowess and the fact that he's a legit top 10, top 5 NBA coach.
Yeah, Ty Lue's been amazing. Personally, pending the Kawhi injury, and I mean, who knows? It's Kawhi. He doesn't talk, so we're not going to know probably until the day of the playoffs if he's playing or not.
His team probably doesn't know if he's going to show up or not.
They don't. They definitely don't. He probably hasn't been telling him anything. I think that I still don't think that any play-in team, if Kawhi isn't coming back, doesn't have a great chance of upsetting a 1 or 2 seed. The Nets would probably be my best choice. The Ben Simmons thing is very unknown to me. I know we've talked about it. The fact that the Celtics don't have Rob Williams, if we get that matchup, that's probably the best chance for us because they can't. We can have Drummond on the floor if Rob Williams isn't out there. And the Nets, in a weird way, can actually be able to go big because Drummond's way bigger than any guy on that team, especially if they don't have. I mean, they'll have Horford, but Horford just isn't as big as Drummond. So if they had Ben Simmons out there, that changes anything. That changes everything for this team. I want to say the Nets can win one of those, can win against those teams, but I wouldn't favor the Nets against Miami or Boston. Personally, I'd rather play Miami, and the best outcome is actually probably that we lose a play-in game, and then we win and get Miami. So if we somehow would beat Miami, we get to avoid the Bucks, and maybe the Celtics knock them off, because in my opinion, I think the Celtics and the Bucks probably the best chance of going out of the East right now, even with the Rob Williams injury. He still has a good chance of coming back in the later rounds. But I don't know. The plan, if my team wasn't involved, to be honest with you, I really would not be that interested in it. Kind of want the playoffs to start at this point.
Yeah, especially the West. I don't think Pelicans or Spurs really have a chance of like upsetting the Clippers or Minnesota. Yeah,
that's
a
joke.
Yeah, I think Minnesota Clippers are both going to make the playoffs. And because it's a one-game toss-up, it's kind of hard to kind of predict exactly which one will get the 7 and 8. But as the Pelicans, Spurs, like, just a throwaway game. I don't think that winner really matters. I think Clippers and Timberwolves are, like, I think, 6 and 8 games. Or actually, I think 8 games and 10 games up on them in the regular season. So, like, they're not really going to compete. So I'm just more looking forward to getting this playoffs underway.
Yeah, it's nice that we get some stars in the play-in, like Towns, PG, Durant, Kyrie, Trae Young. Like, there are we still get to watch some great players, and it'll be very high-level basketball. It'll be playoff intensity, which, I mean, who doesn't love watching that? So that'll be fun to watch, but I think every NBA fan is kind of just ready for the playoffs to start.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple of years.
I'd ask you more about this potential Nets-Celtics rivalry, this Nets-Celtics series that might happen, which probably will be a bloodbath for a first round. I still don't know if it's going to happen. We'll talk next time, but that's all I got for today.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Nets Celtics match up, we'll have a great episode on Friday because we'll just be going lineup by lineup, talking about who can win. But I think we'll just have to wait and hopefully we get a couple of great games in this play-in games.
Yeah,
and just hoping for good basketball as a non-involved fan.
Next episode, we'll give you guys our playoff brackets. We'll do our predictions after the play-in when the complete standings are set and we know the playoff matchups for everybody going into Saturday. And yeah, it should be a great playoffs. May the best team win. Who knows? But this is the best time of year, in my personal opinion, to be a sports fan.
Yeah, I mean, if you love basketball, this is playoff basketball. So
yeah,
nothing better than playoff basketball.
NBA Therapy is back. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Bye, guys.